Chapter 19. Lusana sat at the head of an oval conference table, his eyes pensive, his hands toying with a ballpoint pen. He looked at the ever-smiling Colonel Duke von Low, chief military advisor to the AAR, then at the officers sitting in tense formation in the chairs beside him. "Some bloodthirsty idiot takes it into his head to knock over the farm of the most respected citizen of Natal, and you all sit here looking as innocent as Zulu ver- I have studied the exact placement of every section during the time of the attack. None of them, except for the one Somala led, was within 200 kilometers of Umkono."
"Then how do you explain it?"
"I cannot." Lusana's gaze lingered on Low, appraising the Asian's expression. Satisfied that he saw nothing devious in the permanently etched smile, he turned and surveyed the other men at the table. To his right sat Major Thomas Machita, his chief intelligence analyst. Next to him was Colonel Randolph Jumana, his second in command. Opposite them were Low and Colonel Oliver Makir, coordinator of AAR propaganda programs. "Any theories on the subject?" Lusana asked. Jumana straightened a sheaf of papers for the tenth time and avoided Lusana's gaze. "What if Somala imagined the fox raid? Perhaps he saw it during a fit of delirium. Or, then again, perhaps he made it up." Frowning, Lusana shook his head in irritation. "You forget, Colonel, I was the one who took Somala's report. He was a damn good man, the best section leader we had. He was not delirious, and he had no reason to create a fairy tale, knowing he was about to die."
"There is no doubt that the raid took place," said Makir. "The South African papers and television newscasts have given it heavy play. Their stories all check with what Somala told the general here, except the government defense forces have yet to come up with any reliable witnesses who can provide a description of the attacking troops. We were fortunate that Somala was able to return from his mission and describe in detail what he saw before he died."
"Did he see who shot him?" asked Jumana.
"He was hit in the back at a great distance," answered Lusana, "probably by a sniper."
"The poor devil managed to crawl 3 miles to the area he assigned the rest of his scouting party. They performed what first aid they could and then beat a track back to our camp." Thomas Machita shook his head in utter incomprehension. "None of it tallies. I doubt that other liberation movements would dress up and masquerade as AAR soldiers." "On the other hand," said Makir, "maybe they staged the raid to cast blame on us and take the heat off themselves. I am in close contact with my countrymen who are advising your brother revolutionaries," said Colonel Low. "They are all as angry as disturbed hornets. No one gained by the assault on the Fox Farm. If anything, it has stiffened the resolve of the whites, the Indians, the coloreds, and many blacks as well, to stand firm against outside intervention." Lusana rested his chin on clasped hands. "Okay, if they didn't do it, and we know we didn't do it, who does that leave as a prime suspect?"
"South African whites," Low answered simply.
Every eye focused on the Vietnamese advisor. Lusana stared into the inscrutable eyes.
"Perhaps you'd care to repeat the statement." "I am merely suggesting that someone in the South African government may have ordered the murder of the Fox family and their field workers."
They all stared at him wordlessly for several moments. Finally, Machita broke the silence.
"I fail to see a purpose."
"Nor I," Low said, and shrugged. "But consider this. Who else would have the resources to equip a group of commandos in arms and uniforms that are identical to our own? Also, and most important, does it not strike you gentlemen as odd that even though the attacking group retreated within the sound of Defense Force helicopters, none of them was tracked down? It is a fact of guerrilla life that we require a minimum of 1 hour to ensure even a moderate chance of a successful escape. Less than 10 minutes head start on a force using helicopters and dogs is suicide."
"You make an intriguing case," Lusana said, his fingers drumming the table. "I don't for 1 minute accept it as valid. However, it won't hurt to run a check. He turned to Machita. Do you have a trusted informer in the defense ministry? Someone highly placed, answered Machita. Costs us a pretty penny, but his information is thoroughly reliable. Odd sort, though. He never appears in the same place twice under the same guise.
You make him sound like some kind of mystic, said Jumana.
Perhaps he is, conceded Machita. Emma materializes when we least expect him.
Emma?
His code name.
Either the man has a warped sense of humor or he's a transvestite, said Lusana.
I cannot say, General.
How do we contact him?
We don't. He reaches us only when he has useful information to sell.
Jumana's face clouded. What guarantee have we that he isn't feeding us falsified documents?
To date, everything he passed us from the ministry has checked out 100%.
Lusana looked at Machita. You'll see to it, then?
Machita nodded. I'll fly to Pretoria myself and await Emma's next appearance. If anyone can clear up the mystery, it will be him.